If I had to meet any saint in person, it would take me a really long time to pick. But one of them would be Blessed Anna Maria Taigi. She lived in the late 1700s and early 1800s in Italy. She was a wife, a mother, a mystic. She had incredible visions of the past, the present, and the future, including the 3 days of darkness. She would see what would happen to people when they would die. She would see souls in purgatory. She had a glowing orb in front of her at all times that revealed to her all these things, something unheard of in Catholic mysticism. And considering all of the things that she would see, she would recommend this one prayer daily to those around her to pray for the souls in purgatory. In today's video, we will explore her background and her life, her visions of purgatory and the souls in purgatory, the prayer that she recommended, as well as what she said about the 3 days of darkness. Let's get right into it. Now, Blessed Anna Maria was an incredible penitent. Listen to what she would do. She often undertook, besides extraordinary fasts of 40 days durations or longer, sometimes in order to obtain some grace which regarded the public benefit or again for the conversion of some particular person or for the relief of the suffering souls in purgatory. All she took at such times was a little soup at midday. Her ordinary practice when not fasting was after returning from church in the morning, to drink a small cup of coffee, to which she would add a little bread, although the latter was often omitted. At dinner, a few spoonfuls of soup and a mere scrap of bouillie sufficed her towards the close of her life, following a divine intimation she entirely obtained from flesh meat. She would also do various penances, self-flagellation, wearing chains, hair shirts, sleeping only 2 hours a day, and more. One of the devotions most remarkable in Anna Maria was her tender love and solicitude for the relief of the suffering souls in purgatory. This devotion came to her with the force of a threefold appeal. First, because to help the souls in purgatory ranks among the highest acts, if it be not itself, as some hold, the very highest act of mercy, which I believe that it is. Now, one of the reasons for this was that she was a Trinitarian, an order that started in the Middle Ages, where they would offer themselves as victims to free prisoners of the Muslims. Now, because of this spiritual heritage, they also had an incredible devotion to the souls in purgatory, and certain daily prayers were recommended to those of the order. She doomed herself to a continual purgatory on earth. She often followed the way of the cross for them in the cemetery of Santo Spirito and in that of St. John Lateran, knowing, as we have already said, that this exercise was especially pleasing to our Lord. For this reason, she constantly resorted to it, as in all her own greatest needs, spiritual and temporal, so also on behalf of these his suffering spouses. And our Lord often permitted the souls that had been freed through her assistance to come and thank her before taking their flight to heaven. One instance in particular is recorded when she was purposing to receive communion at St. John Lateran's for a departed soul. During the first Mass, which was said by her own confessor, she suffered much both in body and soul. Nevertheless, she did not cease praying, offering what she endured to the divine justice. Monsignor Pedicini said a second Mass, and when he began the Gloria, Anna Maria felt herself inundated with a flood of joy, and the soul which just at that moment had been released from purgatory approached and said, "I thank you, my good sister, for your charity. I will remember you before the throne of God in heaven, where thanks to your prayers, I am going to be happy for all eternity." One of her daughters was in the habit of accompanying Anna Maria when she went to the cemetery Santo Spirito to pray for the dead. She says in her deposition that these visits would be made for 40 consecutive days, and in all weathers, yet always barefoot in spite of rain or mud. She would say three requiems and a prayer on each of the 300 tombs. When praying for a deceased person, she immediately saw his eternal destiny. If the soul was in purgatory, it appeared below the rays, symbolically represented by a heart that was soiled or by a diamond that was deprived of its luster. And she perceived with the utmost clearness its suffering, the reason for which it suffered, and what would be the period of their duration. Her charity would then address itself to abridge the time by prayer and penance. The image remained sufficiently long to enable her to comprehend the exact condition of the soul, and then gently sank and disappeared. But if the soul was already in possession of glory, it appeared under the figure of a shining heart or a sparkling diamond. She constantly saw numbers of souls, says a confessor, that were lost, person of all stations, ecclesiastical, dignitaries of the highest rank, religious, nuns, all of whom, according to appearances, might have been believed to be in a state of salvation, but the servant of God was very reserved on this point and never named anyone. Anna Maria was apprised of the salvation of a certain count, a man well known in his day. His life had been one of much self-indulgence, and he had dissipated his mind by a restless love of traveling. In short, there had been little externally to mark his being a Christian. Nevertheless, he was saved, and she saw that the reason was that he had not only forgiven an enemy, but had bestowed some benefit upon him. He was, however, to remain in purgatory for as many years of suffering as he had passed useless ones on earth. A priest with whom she had been acquainted having died, she saw that he owed his salvation to having on one occasion done violence to himself and given a trifle to an importunate beggar. This act of virtue had been to him the principle of many other graces, which excited him to the performance of meritorious works. She saw his sufferings and knew the time that they were to last. The following are examples of other faults she saw which were punished in purgatory. She saw an ecclesiastic who had enjoyed a high reputation while living for his activity, his zeal, and his eloquent preaching, cruelly tormented in purgatory because instead of seeking purely the glory of God, he had been ambitious of being reckoned a great orator and had not divested himself of self-love. She saw the state after death of several exalted personages who had played a conspicuous part on the world stage in her time, amongst others, the Tsar of Russia, Alexander I. Now, he was not a Catholic, and at the time of his death, she said that he had died and gone to purgatory because he had had a reverence for the Pope, among other things, and had essentially become Catholic upon his death. Now, the reports weren't even out at the time, and people that were learning about this would go to one source and another and find that they had said, no, he's not dead yet. But she turned out to be absolutely correct, and he had in fact died, and she knew this all ahead of time. Now, listen to the prayer that she recommended to be prayed daily. Anna Maria used strongly to urge others to be devout to the souls in purgatory, particularly the souls of priests, and have masses offered for them. Accustom yourself, she would say to her spiritual children, to recite 100 requiems for them daily, and in assisting at Holy Mass, offer it in their behalf. This devotion will preserve both you and your families from many misfortunes. I have found that to be the case. She herself, in saying her 100 requiems, was accustomed to add 2 prayers. After the first 50, she would say, O holy wounds of my Lord, which from love have given forth so much blood, have pity on the souls in purgatory and on me, a poor sinner. After the second 50, she said, Holy souls who from this world have passed into purgatory and whom the blessed in paradise are expecting, you will ask graces for me when you appear before God. Now, this is an ancient prayer, the Requiem. And it goes as follows, Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Now, what's surprising about this is not the prayer itself, but despite the fact that she could see the past, the present, the future, and all the things that she could see, and all the things that she could do, that she chose this simple prayer to pray. Now, I would recommend that you pray this on a simple rosary. Pray the decade beads. Now skip the Our Father so that you have 50 beads there to count. And in the middle, you pray the middle prayer that she recommended. And at the end, pray that last prayer, which if you think about it, is genius because you're essentially saying, all you souls in purgatory that I have delivered or helped, remember me when you come before the throne of God. Incredible. Now, this is what she had to say about the 3 days of darkness. She was at the time praying fervently and shedding abundant tears, offering her pains and sufferings for the conversion of sinners, that sin might be banished from the world and God become known and loved. The Lord, he writes, was pleased to manifest to her the dreadful sins of persons of all classes and how he was offended by them, At this sight, she felt a poignant sorrow and said, sighing, "O my beloved, how can so great a disaster be remedied?" Then it was said to her in reply, "My daughter, my spouse, my father and I will remedy all. After the chastisement, the survivors will act thus." This omission is naturally supplied by what is elsewhere asserted, that she saw crowds of heretics returning to the bosom of the church and beheld their edifying behavior as well as that of all the faithful. The scourge, he told many persons, was to be of a supernatural darkness, which was to prevail for 3 days, during which blessed candles alone would give light, and that during several consecutive days, Anna Maria saw the world enveloped in a dense and awful darkness, accompanied by the falling of walls and timber, as if a great edifice was crumbling into fragments. Now, although some would think that this would be symbolic, because of the way that she described it, it is clearly meant to be taken literally. Now, please do not forget to visit one of the sponsors of this channel, realestateforlife.org. Get a faith-based, experienced agent and support the gospel of life. How it works is they help you find a local experienced agent in your area to buy and sell. They have 1,400 pro-life agents worldwide. When you complete your residential or your commercial sale, 6.5% of the revenue is given to support a pro-life or a Catholic apostolate at no cost to you. You provide them with some basic information, and they'll put you in touch with a top-quality pro-life agent. Support them today. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like, and also support through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.